الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we begin reading this afternoon from the chapter the author she mentioned. حفظها الله تعالى آداب خروج المرأة. آداب خروج المرأة. The manners for the woman leaving her home. The manners and etiquettes for the woman going out of her house. And we have discussed this issue in some brief detail in the lesson number 43, 44, 45, and 46, specifically with regards to the conditions of the woman leaving her home in lesson number 46 from these classes. So much of that which is mentioned here has been discussed in that lesson in some detail, mentioning some of the evidences. Here she mentions a number of points. From the etiquettes of the woman leaving her home, number one, al-hijab, meaning that she must leave out with the proper legislative Islamic covering that we have been discussing in our previous classes. Number two, adamu at-ta'attur, and that she must not wear any perfume or have on any scent on her body nor on her clothing. On her body nor on her clothing. Number three, khafdu al-mashi li'alla يُسْمَعَ خَفْقُ نِعَارِهَا, and that she should walk gently. She should walk gently so that the sound of her shoes are not heard whenever she's walking. So that the sound of her steps and her shoes are not heard whenever she's walking. قَالَ تَعَالَى, the Most High, he says, وَلَا يَضْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ لِيُعْلَمَ مَا يُخْفِينَ مِنْ زِينَتِهِنَّ, and they should not stamp with their feet, so that which is hidden from their adornment and beauty can be made known. So this is clear with regards to this, that the woman from concealing her adornment and beauty is that she will walk gently in a manner that does not attract attention, nor show any of her adornment and beauty. She says, وَقَدِبْتُلِينَا فِي زَمَنِنَا هَذَا بِالْكَعْبِ الْعَادِي, and we have been tried in this time of ours, and we have been tried in this time of ours with the high heels. We have been tried in this time of ours with the high heels. فَتَجِدُ الْمَرْأَةَ تَلْبَسُهُ وَيُكُونُ لِنَعْلِهَا صَوْتٌ, you will find a woman, she will wear these high heels. She will wear these high heels, and you will find that her shoes make a sound whenever she's walking. وَرُبَّمَا هِيَ تَتَغَنَّجُ فِي مَشْيَتِهَا, and maybe she is going to walk around arrogantly and proudly, or and the likes, whenever she wears them, and he's walking around like she's flirting and like she is arrogant and the likes. وَصَدَّقَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذْ يَقُولُ, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned the truth whenever he said, المرأة عورة فإذا خرجت استشرفها الشيطان, the woman, she is an awra, and whenever she goes out of her house, the devil, he will make a istishraf with her. We have seen this narration and the explanation of it in the previous classes, meaning that the shaitan, he will look at her and use her to entice others and mislead others by way of her, and likewise to mislead her as well. أخرجه الترمذي عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه, this narration has been narrated by at-Tirmidhi from the hadith of ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه. Number four, she says, إذا كانت تمشي مع أخت لها وهناك رجال فلا تتحدث مع صاحبتها, that if she's walking, while she's out of her house, if she's walking with one of her sisters and there are men present around them, that she should not speak. Then she should not speak to her friend, meaning out loud. She says, وَلَيْسَ مَعْنَ هَذَا أَنَّ صَوْتَ الْمَرْأَةِ عَوْرًا, this does not mean that the voice of a woman is from the awra. وَلَكِنْ سَمَّعُ الرِّجَالِ لِصَوْتِ الْمَرْأَةِ قَدْ يُؤَدِّي إِلَى الْفِتْنَةِ, but the fact that men are hearing the voice of a woman, this could lead to fitna. This could lead to trials and to tribulations and problems for the people. So this is a good advice, that the women, whenever they're out, that they should not be speaking out loud and raising their voices so that others can hear them, especially not strange men. especially not strange men. This is not from modesty, and this is not from haya, and from iffah of the woman, and the hishma of the Muslim woman. Rather, she will lower her voice, or she will be quiet whenever she's in the presence of other strange men, of other strange men, and she will only speak whenever it's necessary, and she will speak properly, not making her voice low and soft, and the likes like this as a means to tempt the weak-hearted men. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So she says, number five, أَن تَسْتَأْذِنَ إِمَّا مِنْ زَوْجِهَا إِنْ كَانَتْ مُتَزَوِّجَةً إِنْ كَانَتْ مُتَزَوِّجَةً أَوْ مِنْ وَلِيِّهَا إِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ مُتَزَوِّجَةً. That she must seek permission before she leaves her home, either from her husband if she's married, or from her guardian if she's not married. So it's not allowed for her to just leave whenever she likes. Rather, she must have the permission of her husband first and foremost. And if not married, then she must have the permission of her guardian, the one who she is under his care, like her father, for example. And she says, number six, إِذَا كَانَتِ الْمَسَافَةُ مَسَافَةَ سَفَرٍ فَلَا تَخْرُجْ إِلَّا مَعَ ذِي مَحْرَمٍ. And if the distance that she's leaving is the distance of traveling, then she must not go out except with a mahram. لِقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And this is based on the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الذي رواه البخاري عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. And the narration which is narrated by البخاري from the hadith of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما. لا تسافر امرأة إلا مع ذي محرم. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that a woman must not travel except with a mahram. That a woman must not travel except with a mahram. وهذا, she says, وهذا الدليل وما في معناه عامة في السفر في الطائرة وفي غيرها. And this evidence here, and that which is similar, is general. It's a general prohibition with regards to traveling in an airplane and other than that. فَتَنَبَّهِ لِذَلِكَ وَفَّقَكِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتِ مُرِيدَةً الْحَقِّ. So you must pay attention to this, my sister. May Allah grant you success if you are seeking the truth. And she mentions here this narration, which is in al-Bukhari, لا تسافر امرأة إلا مع ذي محرم. There are other wordings likewise. لا يحل لامرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر أن تسافر مسيرة يوم وليلة إلا مع ذي محرم. That is not allowed. It's not allowed for a woman who believes in Allah in the last day. لا يحل لامرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر. It's not allowed for a woman who believes in Allah in the last day to travel the distance of a day and a night except with a mahram. And this is not allowed in general, but especially for the woman who believes in Allah in the last day, an indication that whenever the faith is sound in the heart and is deeply rooted, then it will prohibit a woman from disobeying her Lord and violating the rights of her religion. And it will prohibit her from traveling because this is not allowed. لا يحل لامرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر أن تسافر مسيرة يوم وليلة إلا مع ذي محرم. Except that she has along with her a mahram. Number seven, she says, أَلَّا تُزَاحِمَ الرِّجَالَ حَتَّى فِي الطَّوَافِ وَالسَّعِي إِذْ اسْتَطَاعَتْ أَن تَمْشِيَ بِدُونِ مُزَاحَمَةٍ فَلْتَفْعَلْ. That she shouldn't crowd the men whenever she's walking, even whenever she's making tawaf or the sa'i, for example. And even in al-masjid al-haram, performing these great sacred rites from the manasik of al-hajj and al-umrah, like the tawaf around the Kaaba or the sa'i between al-safa and marwa, she should not crowd around the men in doing that. If she's able to avoid that, then she must do that. And if she's able to back up away from the people without crowding around the men, then this is better for her. This is something that she should do. And number eight, أن تتحلى بالحياة. And the eighth point mentioned from the manners and etiquettes of the woman whenever she leaves her home is that she would adorn herself with al-haya. Yani with modesty. with modesty. She should be modest whenever she leaves. In her dress, no doubt, the Islamic hijab that is proper and legislated and pleasing to Allah is modest. And likewise, in her speech, she will be modest. And also in her walk, in the manner that she carries herself, she must move in a manner of modesty and a manner of dignity, and the manner of a Muslimah, a follower of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number 9, she says, أَنْ تَغُضَّ بَصَرَهَا, that she must lower her gaze, likewise, from that which is impermissible and haram. So from the manners and etiquettes as well, for the woman whenever she leaves her home, is that she must lower her gaze. This is what the previous chapter was about the hijab and the obligation of lowering the gaze. And the hijab is specific to the women. And lowering the gaze is general for the men and for the women. She says, number 10, أَلَّا تَخْلَعَ ثِيَابَهَا فِي غَيْرِ بَيْتِهَا إِذَا قَصَدَتْ التَّبَرُّجَ بِذَلِكَ, that she should not take off her garments, meaning her abaya, meaning her khimar, meaning the outer garment that she put on to cover her inner garments whenever she's leaving her home. She should not take that off whenever she's outside of her home, if she's intending to show off and to show her beauty and adornment by doing that. فَقَدْ جَاءَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ, because it has come from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, أَيُّمَ امْرَأَةٍ وَضَعَتْ ثِيَابَهَا فِي غَيْرِ بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا هَتَكَتْ مَا بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ. Any woman who takes off her thiyab, takes off her yani outer garments in other than her husband's house, then she has taken down the veil between her and between Allah, meaning she has exposed herself to the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she says, what hadith was sahih min hadith Aisha radiyallahu anha fi musnad Ahmad, that this narration is authentic from the narration of Aisha radiyallahu anha, and it is collected in the musnad of al-Imam Ahmad. So these points here, we had discussed a number of them with evidences and discussed the details in that which the people of knowledge have mentioned about these affairs and these conditions, from the etiquettes and manners of the woman leaving her home. And again, that was specifically in lesson number 46. But the issue of the woman leaving her home and the likes, we had discussed that in a number of classes with a number of different advices that we have discussed from the statements of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, and other than him, and the statements of the people of knowledge with regards to this affair and the conditions related to that, the conditions related to that in lesson number 43. And lesson number 44, and lesson number 45, and lesson number 46. Lesson number 46 specifically about the conditions for the woman leaving her home. So I advise the noble sisters to review those affairs with regards to these points here, and there's many beneficial details to be found in those lessons, insha'Allahu ta'ala. After this, the author, she mentions حُضُورُ الْمَرْأَةِ الْمَعْرَكَةِ وَدِفَعُهَا عَن نَفْسِهَا إِذَا احْتَاجَتْ إِلَى ذَلِكَ. The next chapter is about the fact that the woman, she would attend the battle and defend herself if she's in need of doing that. The woman attending the battles and going out with the Muslim army. And there are details with regards to this and when it's permissible and what is permissible and what they are allowed to do and what they are leaving for. And it's established that they will be allowed to go out, but not to go out to fight and not to go out for battle, but rather to go out to help and to aid the soldiers by cooking for them and preparing their needs for them, and likewise tending to the wounded and the sick and the deceased from them. And there are a number of narrations to discuss with regards to this. The author, she mentioned many of them, and we have, in addition to that, a number of narrations likewise. And insha'Allah, we will begin studying this chapter in our class to come. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيَنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ.